Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 23 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Just enjoying my Tuesday evening. No sports on, so I'm in fact, for the last 48 hours, I've tried my best to think about anything other than football, other than last night's game, which was sick.
But that was a very good game, the Browns-Ravens game.
That was so fun to watch. Wow, that was game of the year, honestly.
I think that was game of the year.
I've been trying to not think about football. You guys probably know why, but I've been trying to not think about it. So now I'm gonna have to talk about it. We're canceling the season. It's canceled.
Giants had a very tough loss.
The season is over.
The season's not over. You're just being overdramatic.
No. The season is over, guys. The season is totally over.
Before we get into the Giants, just so we have it like on record, let's talk about the Jets real quick. So we didn't talk about them last
week. We didn't even talk about the Jets last week because we had Frank on.
Yeah. So pretty much with the Jets, they fired Greg Williams last week after the play call where he decided to go an all-out blitz on the very last play of the game that killed the Jets against the Raiders, which honestly I was extremely happy with. I was jumping up and down, very happy with that play. I think that saved the Jets franchise for the next 10 years.
I know. It might have. And it's funny because I saw so many mixed reactions. Like, there are, like, legitimately Jets fans out there that, like, wanted to win that game.
Oh, 100%. Because, like, you don't want to go 0-16. I completely get that. And if the Jaguars had won the game that week, I would have 100% rooted for the Jets to get that. But I don't know. I feel like that number one pick is more important than a win at this point. And I'm just hoping for the Jaguars to win at least one more game this year so the Jets have a chance at winning and I could actually root for them.
Aren't you guys technically, like, two games ahead of them, though? Because you have, like, the loser tiebreaker or
no? No, they have the tiebreaker on us because they have an easier strength of schedule.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yikes, dude. It's going to come down to the wire.
Watch. It's such a Jets move to just, like, beat the Patriots week 17 and then ruin their chances of getting a first pick in the draft.
Well, one thing I have to say about the Jets is that they'd probably be, like, 9-4 if they only counted the first drive of the game.
I
literally score on the first drive almost.
Out of the past 8 games, I think they've scored on the first drive, which is something that was such a problem for them the past 3 years. I remember there always being like the graphic that shows up during the CBS broadcasts and stuff where it says like Jets have not scored once on their first drive in the past 24 games or something like that. So, you know what? I'm glad that they're able to score on their first drive. It's just every other drive that's a bit of a problem. Especially you saw against the Seahawks this past weekend, the most atrocious loss I think we've had yet.
Bro, you know who's really bad? Sergio Castillo. He's so bad. I don't know. There's no way he's missing those kicks on purpose. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's appreciating the tank. And I know that's mostly a joke, but, like, bro, he's also, like, not going to get another job in the NFL if you go, like, 1-for-5 on kicks.
Yeah,
like,
1-for-4. That's not
that was look. Bad. That was so that bad. Was
so bad. I don't think – how do you go into a job as an NFL kicker and miss 3 – not even, like, hard field goals? There were – 2 of them were chip shots.
Oh, he only missed 3. I thought he missed 4.
Still, that's not good for – I don't know.
It's pretty funny, honestly.
It was funny.
It's like, of course. And, like, the Jets' trademark thing is, like, I feel like a bunch of their losses, they've only scored 3 points.
Is that true? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, they had that one against the Bills where they only scored 3 points. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of, like, their signature is, like, score 3 points in the beginning and then just, like, completely just act like you're not a football team the rest of the game.
Look, the Jets right now, I think – have to be the best team in football. There's no other way to put it. I mean, they're playing incredible. Their coaching is absolutely spectacular. There's not a single wrong thing with this team. I think that they are Super Bowl champs 100%.
Oh, man. And, dude, they're well on their way to beating the 72 Dolphins on their way to their first. They haven't popped those bottles yet because, man, the Jets are on their way. Just watch out. They're better than the 07 Pats. They're better than all these other all-time great teams. Sam Darnold, MVP, future Super Bowl MVP, Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay. So just to, like, finish off with the Jets, obviously there's not much to talk about. Like, it's the same thing every week. But the Jets have Sam Darnold at the helm as of right now. Chances are Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starter for week 1, barring any.
You can't say that yet. You really?
Knock on wood real quick. But chances are Sam Darnold is not returning next year.
Yeah, that's more – you cannot say anything about Trevor Lawrence yet. That is just the ultimate bad luck.
I can't jinx it, yeah. But chances are Sam Darnold is not the starting quarterback at week one next year. So this past week, Darnold kind of professed his love for New York and said, like, I want to be a Jet for life, but at the same time, it's not in my hands. And you know what? Like, I think that was classy. I think that him going out there and saying, like, I know everything's going on is complete chaos and really not looking good for me. But, like, at the same time, I don't want to trash my organization. I'm still here until you no longer want me type thing.
Yeah, like, he's not like Jamal Adams where he's just trashing the organization, or Adam Gase where he's just handling this all wrong. You can tell that Sam Darnold is a classy guy. And like he's just been dealt the worst hand, and it really stinks. Like, it sucks, you know? It's like you don't want to see that for, like, a young guy that, like, after his first game especially, you're like, man, this guy's going to be great. And
look, I can't wait to see Sam Darnold perform extremely well for another team and bring them to a playoff opportunity. Because, you know what, I think he deserves it. I think that he has the talent and the potential. It's just a bad situation in New York. And obviously, I can't really stick up for him any longer, but I don't know. I'm ready to move on, and I'm sad because he's a good guy. But at the same time, I want to see some Jets wins. And God forbid that happens in 2020, which I know that it won't. Our next win is going to be in most likely next September.
Their next win in you think it's going to be in September?
Hey, what is that, like four games?
Dude, the spread, the Rams are favored by 17.5. That almost might be a good –
Well, I mean, okay, so you saw how the Jets fared against the 30th-ranked defense in the league last game, putting up three. Let's see how they do against the number one ranked defense.
I mean, when you put it that way, it makes me think they're going to score 3 points and then just dip.
Look, I think that right now, if we're able to put up at least, let's say, 9, maybe 3 field goals with whoever is kicking, I think that's a solid game.
They're going to make 3 field goals. That's cute.
Okay, well, you know what? Enough right now. I am
in no position to be saying anything either. The season is over. On to the Knicks.
No. Not yet. We got to stop at the other side of the MetLife field. We got to go to the Giants locker room real quick. Giants had atrocious – not atrocious. I mean, do you want to talk about
atrocious? Yes. It was ugly. No,
come on.
Like, no, they completely got – this feels like an episode from like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Dude, like, they were outclassed, they were outcoached, they were outprepared. Daniel Jones isn't healthy. We don't have a playmaker on offense because Saquon Barkley is just dead. We don't have that guy like Odell or Saquon that can just bail you out with a big play and spark the offense. Daniel Jones, they completely took the RPOs and the read options out of the playbook, and I don't blame them because, like, what are they supposed to do? Daniel Jones is playing on like 1.5 legs, and like Washington won. So I don't know. Like, here's the thing. You know why I haven't trashed Washington yet? Because I genuinely believe that they are a good football team. They have a good head coach. Great story with him battling cancer and coming out on top. That's awesome because cancer sucks. That's the main thing. And so you really love to see that. That's a great story.
Yeah, I like that.
Alex Smith. I know he got hurt in last week's game, but great story. He almost lost his leg. Could have died. Seeing him back on the field, it's nothing short of a miracle, and it's really incredible.
Completely, yeah.
And their defense is just balling out right now. And I will never forget that we just had to win that game in overtime against the name redacted in week 16 last year, and now we don't have Chase Young. That's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, aside from Washington looking really good, and like it's going to be a battle because now they have to lose at least one more game, and we have to win these tough ones coming up. It's just they're good, man. Washington's a good football team. They are. They're a good team, and they're going to be a good team for years to come. I can't really say that because they have this tendency to come out of the basement every 3 or 4 years, have a good season, and then kind of just blow it all up because Dan Snyder's kind of a dummy. But, no, they're good this year. I genuinely believe that if the Giants and Washington had a preseason with their young team, new head coach, new system, young players learning these schemes, that both of these teams would be – probably like 7-6 and 8-5 as opposed to 6-7 and 5-8. Don't you think? Like it would, doesn't that, is that so crazy to think?
Not at all.
So anyway, I don't even know if I want to go over the Giants game. I pretty much wrapped it up in like 4 sentences. They were just sloppy. The defense was exhausted because the offense was never on the field, and they couldn't do their whole game plan because Daniel Jones was one-dimensional when he doesn't have his legs. And he has a great arm, but the offensive line didn't play well, and he doesn't have that star receiver or that star back he can just count on. So when the game plan isn't executed perfectly, especially with him hurt, it was against Seattle, and that's why they won. And it wasn't against Arizona, and that's why they lost. So you just got to – we're banking all on his health now at this point.
I thought the defense played well enough in the situations that they were given. But the, like you said, they were completely exhausted. They weren't suited to be put in that situation where they had to be on the field that much and deal with so much from that explosive Cardinals offense. And I just think that Daniel Jones needs another week. I don't think he was 100% healthy. They kind of forced
him. He's not even close. And it was clear. And Jason Garrett's game plan, it's just not going to work. And it's just, ugh. And after watching last night's game, to see that the Giants have the Ravens and Browns next, it makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, the time of possession was like 38-22. That's not going to win you a football game, no matter how you slice it. They didn't get to the Cardinals' second half of the field until the third quarter. Like midway through the third quarter, and there was only one drive where they did so. They turned the ball over three times. I mean, it was a mess. Hopefully this is just a wake-up call for everyone, for Joe Judge, who I didn't even think that did that poorly of a job. It's his first year. He's done a good job. I like the culture he's creating. Daniel Jones needs to get healthy, and that matters, man. That really matters. It really does.
Look, I'm gonna say right now, so you, on the note of the Browns and Ravens game, I mean, you saw what I was typing to you last night or yesterday, two nights ago.
Yeah, no, you have to go. Are you going to go over all your crazy scenarios now? Because you can, but it's going to drive me nuts and it's going to make me do nothing but think about it for the next 3 weeks.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're in your seat because it's time. So let's start with the Giants. So Giants right now, you are very hard on them when most likely
I was super confident before this week, but now that I know that Daniel Jones isn't healthy, like, and they, dude, it was just ugly, man. I can't help but be pessimistic right now. I just can't help it from what I've seen.
Okay, so for the Giants right now, chances are they are going to drop one of their two because they play the Ravens and the Browns, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have to win next week. Next week's is at home. It's Sunday night against Cleveland. And Washington, we need to bank on Washington losing, which is
okay.
It's not a shoo-in anymore.
Okay.
Even with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback, it's not a shoo-in. That defense is that good.
Even if the Browns, okay, so let's say that the Giants win one game and lose the other. So chances are that's what's going to end up happening.
You say they end up 6-9 going into the last week, because I'd say yes, that's realistic.
So they go 1-1 against the Browns and the Ravens. I don't know who they're going to beat. It doesn't really matter. But so let's say they beat the Browns next week. Most likely they'll be in first place just from that. Because, look, I can't say right now Seattle's going to 100% beat Washington, but I don't know. I think that it's a good enough position where
– Oh, the Cardinals are playing the Eagles. Seahawks. Oh, the Seahawks, man. I know we completely ruined your integrity and dignity 2 weeks ago. Please do us this favor like you did against Philly on Monday night a couple weeks back. You just blew out the Jets, man. I'm writing you a love letter. Please get us a win, man, so we can get that motivation going into Sunday night and retake first, man. That's all I need. And we can't even count out Dallas and Philly at this point because they both won their games too. Now, listen, I think that the Giants are better than both of those teams, but you never know at this point.
Okay, so I'm just going to go from there. So let's say – scenario is that the Giants beat the Browns, lose to the Ravens, and then Washington beats Carolina and Philly beats Dallas in week 16. So still from that situation, the Giants still have about a 33% chance to win the division still. Because week 17,
that's low.
Only two things need to happen. The Giants need to close out their season with a win against Dallas, which is definitely possible. And the Eagles need to beat Washington to end their season. So that's obviously very questionable considering the Eagles have been extremely inconsistent. But if there's anything that I've seen from Jalen Hurts' play last game, it's something to definitely keep your eye on. And you know what? I've picked him up in all my fantasy leagues. I'm trusting him once Taysom Hill goes back to the bench. So
you're a nut job. Do you know that? You're a nut job.
I'm so into fantasy. But
yeah, you're such a nut, dude. Jalen Hurts. What the heck?
Hey, you – I got that eye. I found all the other quarterbacks in the past years. I've got high hopes.
I hope you're wrong about Jalen Hurts, by the way.
Well, regardless of however he plays, the best scenario for Week 16 is if Washington loses to Carolina, which is definitely possible considering that the Panthers should have DJ Moore back for that. The
Panthers are 4-9, bro.
Okay, but the Panthers are the
Washington has to lose. The Seahawks have to come through. If the Giants win next week and Washington loses, I'll go back to being confident again. But that's a big ask, dude. That's a big ask.
Okay, so in the situation where this is probably the best scenario, so other than the Washington like losing all three, chances are I'm gonna say that they're gonna lose to Seattle, and then let's say they lose to Carolina. So they go 0-2 the next 2 weeks. That's going to be huge for the Giants because all they need to do is win two. So let's say they beat the Browns, then all they need to do is win in Dallas week 17 and you're in because they have the divisional advantage in that sense. That's obviously a big what if, but I think that it's definitely – the season's not over for the Giants by any means.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Consul, I'm allowed to do this.
Okay, but so right now I just want to put this out there that we're done with the Giants speaking right now, but I think that the Cowboys could still have a chance at winning this title. I'm not going to go into the Eagles.
Stop.
Nope, we're going over this real quick.
How? No, they like have the worst chance, dude.
They do.
Washington's two games. No, they have to win out and Washington has to lose out.
Hold up. Ready. I'll tell you the exact scenario. I went through this for about an hour the other night, just going through it to see how the Cowboys could possibly win the NFC East. So they need to win out first off. They need to beat San Francisco, which is definitely possible. Philly, which is definitely possible. And the Giants, which is definitely possible. So then they become 7-9. Then by winning out, they knock out the Eagles, who by losing to the Cowboys have a maximum record of 6-9-1.
Uh-huh.
So obviously that's not as good as 7-9, bam, that's it. By winning out, they also knock out the Giants, who have a maximum record of 7-9, because the Giants are going to lose that divisional tiebreaker. So right now it's the Dallas Cowboys versus Washington for number one or number two based on basically that's it. Like, so all if the Cowboys win out, they have a top two spot guaranteed. Then Washington needs to lose all three, which is where it kind of gets a little iffy. Yeah. Washington, if they lose against the Seahawks, which is probable, then the Panthers could be a close game, and then the Eagles could be a close game. Then Andy Dalton will then proceed to win his first playoff game and then take the 7-9 Cowboys to a Lombardi Trophy.
Here's the thing. Okay. All right, in all seriousness, because that was real funny. That was our comedy segment of the week. Ha, ha, ha. In all seriousness, the reason I'm worried about the Giants being behind is because they spent 2 weeks in first place, and I was like, okay, we're chilling. Dude, Washington might, like, actually just win out. And, like, obviously, at that point, there's nothing you can do. Like, that might happen.
Look, I don't think that they beat Seattle.
You have a knack for these sort of things, so I'm counting on you.
Look, right now, Seattle is in a spot where they're rolling, where when they were playing the Giants, they were at an inconsistent spot. Russell Wilson wasn't playing at his best. Russell Wilson was still unsure of who he was
throwing
to.
They're rolling because they beat the Jets? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. 100. Look, the Seahawks right now seem to be in a much better spot than they were a few weeks back when they played the Giants. And I think with this Washington team, as long as Wilson's able to use his legs and he's able to get around the insane pass rush that Washington's been able to come up with this past few weeks, I think that it's definitely possible that they're able to come away with an easy win. And even if it's not an easy win,
I hate when you use that word.
Look,
I hate
when you win in the NFL is easy.
You talk about anything to do
no win, unless you're playing the New York Jets, no win in the NFL is easy. But I think that Seattle just has too much power in the sense where they'll be able to shut down this Washington offense. And as long as they could pass by this Washington defense, which is easier said than done. But I think that if they're able to contain the Washington offense, which is much easier than containing the Washington defense, it should be a decent win.
All I'm saying is to you, Seattle, you better have a plan for Dwayne Haskins.
You better have a plan.
You better have a plan for Dwayne Haskins. And I'm not rooting for injuries, but in all seriousness, the Giants have a better chance with anyone other than Alex Smith at quarterback for Washington. He is their best quarterback.
Dwayne Haskins?
No, Alex Smith.
Oh.
Dwayne Haskins, probably their worst quarterback of the three. Yeah. I don't know that much about Kyle Allen, actually, so I take that back.
Is it Kyle Allen or Brandon Allen? Brandon Allen's on the Bengals, right?
I think Brandon Allen's on the Bengals and Kyle Allen's on Washington.
No, they're all the same.
Whatever. But listen, I need this. Come on, guy. Like, come through for me. This will be the fourth, actually, if you count the Dallas one at the beginning of the season. Seattle, just come through for me one more time, and I will root for you in the playoffs just for that extra oomph. And then at that point, let's just assume Washington loses. The Giants have that, okay, win and we're in first again mentality heading into MetLife for Sunday Night Football Week 15. They're regrouped. They've planned it out. They practiced in the snow, yada, yada, yada. Cleveland's coming off a loss too. Got to have a plan. Maybe we're in the point of the Baker cycle where he's had two games where he's overperformed and now he's going to slump again. Fingers crossed, because I don't know. Hopefully it's that, because I've seen that meme so many times and I hope that it comes into fruition for me one more time here.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that it's definitely possible that Baker has another off game.
Well, obviously you're more optimistic than me, but I'm not going to say
I hate the Browns. So
the defense needs to do their, like, they did their jobs against Arizona. When you play 38 minutes, that's not going to help. The offense has to be better. Jason Garrett, you have to be better. The offensive line, who's played so well the last month and a half before Sunday, has to be better. Daniel Jones, got to be healthy. Wide receivers, got to get open, man. You just don't stick to the game plan. Don't panic. Don't turn the ball over. And that's all easier said than done. But you just got to get back to the same thing that you did before getting completely blown out by a team that lost three in a row.
I think right now the Giants have a better chance of beating the Browns than they did going in trying to beat the Cardinals, which is good because now.
What is that? No. How?
Well, first off, Jones is healthy, hopefully. Jones will be in a much better spot. Two, they'll have a sort of like come back down to earth moment with the last game where they'll be able to kind of say, like, okay, this isn't guaranteed that we're in the playoffs. Like, we're still playing many good teams that need to be look, I think that the Giants right now need to win this game because
they have to. This is a must. You're right. Now, regardless, especially if Washington wins. But either way, it's a must win. Because okay. If you lose two straight and then you go to Baltimore who's playing well, you are screwed.
Exactly. Like, technically they don't need to win this game, but in terms of what they need technically, they could lose to the Browns and then beat both the Ravens and the Cowboys, but I don't think that you go in to Baltimore and win.
I think that's the one. They can't – let's get this straight. When I say afford to lose, I mean I expect to lose.
Yeah.
You can – I guess I say this in air quotes, afford to lose to Baltimore, because they're the best team out of the three at this point.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But – they have to win next week. It's at home. You've got no lack of motivation, and you just got to pray on Seattle winning. Seattle's got – is the game at CenturyLink? Or it's not even called that anymore. It's called, like, Luden. Is it there, or is it in Washington?
I'm not too sure, actually.
I'm going to check. It matters, but
– okay, but while you're checking that, why don't you give me your last little wrap-up on the Giants as we wrap up this topic?
Oh, geez, the game is in Washington.
It's not like it really matters.
No, just kidding. But not really. All right, I'll give you my wrap-up on the Giants. The Giants need to come through. It's put up or shut up officially now. The margin for error was proven to be so low after last week, and now it's even lower. So you need help. You don't control your own destiny anymore, but you just got to be the best that you can. And boy, would it suck if the Giants went 8-8 and still didn't win the division. So we'll talk more about them soon. I mean, we're going to start doing two episodes a week now, which is actually a perfect transition into why I'm announcing this, because we did this like towards the end of baseball season with the Yankees, so we could talk about football and the Yankees. But yeah, basketball's back. That's what we're about to talk about. But yeah, we're doing two shows a week again. So more Kyle and Anthony. You're welcome.
Woo! Woo-hoo. Okay, so let's move on now.
Giants stuff for now. So please just win on Sunday. All right.
No more painful New York football. Let's move on to the Garden.
Basketball.
Painful New York basketball.
I mean, they're 1-1.
But right now it's the preseason. Obviously, nothing really gets told right now. I mean, everyone thought that Kevin Knox was going to be the rookie of the year by this time in his rookie year. So I'm not too keen on predictions right now for the rest of the season. But the Knicks played Detroit twice. And have they played more than that? I only watched those two.
They played Detroit. I think they have Cleveland either tomorrow or Friday.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, tomorrow. So, yeah, right now the Knicks have scored, 90 and 91 against this Pistons team, where the Pistons lost by 6 the first game and then won by 8 the second game. And overall,
boy, was the shooting bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there just wasn't too much. Okay, there were some positives.
I do have a good Knicks thing that I you probably saw this too. Thibodeau said something about wanting to be aggressive about seeking out a star.
Yeah.
100. I mean, I don't know what kind of validity that has, but.
But all I want to say is the game that the Knicks won, they shot 5 from 23 from the 3-point line, which is something you never want to see. Granted, the Pistons shot 26 of 80 for all field goals, which kind of saved them. But the Knicks shooting was just kind of atrocious, especially to think that they went 9 for 19 on free throws in the first game. This team has a lot to work on, and I'm hoping that that gets better throughout the season.
Yeah, and the 3-point shooting was ugly too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was terrible. 5 for 23. Obi Toppin, let's talk about him.
And 8 for 33 in the second one. They shot even more, and they were just as bad. The efficiency is just not there. But yes, let's talk Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin. So, in the first game, he seemed to be playing all right. The second game wasn't his best display of basketball, to say the least.
Yeah, that was really worrisome.
Yeah, playing like a real Nick already. I still think that the pick was
a real. Yeah, a real Nick is the perfect way to describe that, man.
Yeah.
Like the way he is a real Nick already. Like, I don't know. I don't want to read like too much into it just yet.
Right now, I think it's too early. This guy has been on an NBA court twice in his young life in terms of playing against another NBA.
People are freaking out that he's like 21 or 22 or something like that. Is that something I should be concerned about?
Look, he's a little older than most of the other picks, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be solid in the sense where, like, yeah, he's not 19, but he's still a good player coming out of college. Like, I don't think it makes that much of a difference, to be completely honest.
I hope so. I mean,
okay.
The Knicks is I take more so than any other team I root for, I try to take everything I hear or everything I see with a grain of salt going 100%. Both ways. When the Knicks are completely terrible, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, okay, I expected this, which is sad almost that I have that mentality. When they win like 6 of 8 in like November, I'm past the point of being like, oh yeah, we're gonna get like a 6 seed. Like, that's stupid.
100%.
I'm just taking everything with a grain of salt until something actually happens. Because I really thought at one point in my life that Zion Williamson, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant would all be teammates on the real New York team. And that obviously didn't happen. So I don't know, like early on it's just looking like another year where I'm gonna just have to root for the Nets to fail, which is kind of sad too. But
yeah,
It doesn't look good early. The shooting was terrible. Yeah. The defense was all right, but like it's the Pistons.
Yeah. No. Speaking of defense, though, I did want to bring up one positive. I thought like the duo of Nerlens Noel and Mitchell Robinson, those were both really solid defensive games from them. And the fact that
– Well, we knew that Mitchell played good defense.
Already. Oh, 100%. But just like the idea that right now they have two people down in the paint that are able to have very solid defensive skills, I don't know. I think that it was very, very good for this Knicks team that's been very lacking on defense the past few years.
I hope you're right. I mean, thing right now is like this is just such a – It's like watching the same movie over and over again. Like, they don't have a point guard. They don't have a go-to scorer. They have a bad contract in Randall. I mean, I really don't have too much to be optimistic about, really. I mean, neither of us do. Like, other than the fact that their team is young and that we have a new coach. But that's still a part of the movie, man.
I just want the Knicks to get rid of Julius Randle. That's my main Christmas wish.
They're going to trade him at the deadline, I think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in a dream world, the Knicks sign, like, Kawhi Leonard. Actually, you know what? Let's have this discussion. It's actually kind of interesting. I didn't even tell you about this. I had a discussion with a couple of my friends over the weekend. I said, when the Knicks win their next title, it's going to be the biggest story in, like, all of sport. Like, that'll be the biggest championship. Like, the most accomplished, like it'll be bigger than when the Cubs broke their curse or the Red Sox or Philadelphia, the Eagles or whatever. It will be bigger because it is harder to win in New York than any other place in the world. And obviously, we're biased there, but when the Knicks are the most cursed team in New York, it's like a 50-year drought almost at this point. With their storylines, when the Knicks win, it will be the biggest thing in sports history.
It will be the biggest thing in sports history because it won't happen for another 50 years.
And see, here's the – no, hold on. And I also said this. No matter who it is, whoever the main guy is on that team, like let's just say – like I'll use Obi Toppin as an example just because he's their draft pick. If Obi Toppin goes on to win a title with the Knicks and have an MVP caliber season, finals MVP, incredible playoff run, he will immediately skyrocket into my top 10 players of all time. Because winning with here's the way you got to think about it. If LeBron did what he did with the Lakers, but with the Knicks, it would be so much more impressive. That's the way you got to think about it, right?
Yeah.
It just would be, because like the Knicks are just the Knicks. Mm-hmm.
Look, the Knicks, yes. The Knicks are the Knicks. I mean, putting Obi Toppin in your top 10 players of all time is very exaggerated. But
I'm exaggerating because we don't actually know yet. But
look, I don't think that the Knicks win a ring with Obi Toppin or anybody in the next 10, 20 years. But I don't know even know if Obi Toppin's going to be on this team in 4 or 5 years. But I don't have much faith in the Knicks.
Can you ask your new Uncle Steve if he watches basketball?
Perhaps.
You should ask him that.
Perhaps.
Dude, his Twitter is so cool.
It is really cool, Steve.
It's pretty. Dude, he's literally like just a fan. Like
he is. He's just a Met fan. Okay.
And meanwhile, my boy over here, Hal, who's just like the ultimate corporate guy.
All I'm saying is
we're not even going to talk about baseball right now because it's just so stressful.
If the Knicks had Steve Cohen, I think that they would have a title within 5-6 years.
That's what I'm saying, because like people would want to play for that. Like it would just be cool. And Steve Cohen is cool, man. He's just a cool dude.
He is a cool dude.
He's just so cool. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't trash on Dolan as much as most people.
I do.
Like, one thing I'll say about Dolan is that like it almost seems like, and I could be wrong, it almost seems like players don't want to play for the Knicks because, like, they hear about this bad culture. And, like, it's been a revolving door of, like, management and coaching. And he's been the only factor that's stuck around all this time. And I don't know. It's just what they say. And it's like, yeah, like, you can't not believe that.
Look, the day that James Dolan sells the team for whatever reason will be the day that – okay, I don't know if you saw, but the day that Biden won in New York City – all the horns were going off and everyone was cheering and beeping and whatever just for that victory. I think that the celebration for Dolan stepping down or selling
it'll be bigger. It'll be bigger.
It should be.
Yeah. I mean, people really hate that guy. Like
people really hate Dolan.
People really hate James Dolan. I mean, woof. I mean, like he's had the worst record in the NBA since he's come into power with the Knicks. It's like, I get it, you know? I get it.
I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of times during the season where we have James Dolan hate rants where
– kind of like your Wilpons ones, but we're never getting one of those ever again.
Thank the Lord. But
yeah. We're going to need to replace it with something. I mean, you're going to have something you're going to need to complain about when the Jet season is over and the Wilpons are gone.
I'll have plenty of stuff to complain about when the Jets are over. Don't worry. There's so much – other things happening with the Jets and the Knicks that just, you know, I feel like it won't be an issue. Something that I don't need to worry about.
I mean, that's almost a bad thing. Like, the fact that, we're so groggy and, like, how could we not be, though? The Knicks haven't made the playoffs in, like, 7 years, and it's just – oh, I want to see something different. It just feels all the same so far. I didn't get any good vibes from any – like, at least when we get, like, that false hope, like, that cock tease in the beginning of most preseason games, like, I don't know. We didn't get that this year. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun, but I don't know. There's two games left for us to get ourselves hyped up. I mean, I'm sure if they win on Christmas Eve, we're gonna be losing our minds. So, yeah, who do they open up against? The Pacers?
I have no clue, to be completely honest with you. But we'll have a more in-depth.
We're gonna have to do a next season preview.
We will. We will.
I think I know who we can have on for that, actually.
All right, we'll figure that out very soon.
I'm not gonna announce it now, but I don't know. I have a couple people in mind for like a Knicks preview that would be like awesome, because I know a few guys from camp that have really great Twitters that listen to the show, that like, you know how Platt's our Yankees guy, and like, yeah, no, I have something in mind.
Okay, I'm glad. We'll talk about that more off camera.
Yeah, I have something in mind, but anyway.
That just about wraps up our episode 23. Why don't you plug your socials real quick?
So I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. That's Kyle and E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Big Apple Sports Media. We have like 3 videos out now, but we're going to start pumping them out more consistently once the Knicks come along and stuff. And I don't know. I have a few ideas right now, but we haven't done much yet, but yeah, follow that. And then on Twitter, I'm kind of rambling at this point. On Twitter, it's at Big Apple SP Media, right?
Yep, that's it. And then for me, I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. Like you said, Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram, TikTok. So that is pretty much it for today. Hopefully we'll have some good news for either the Giants or the Knicks, or I mean, there's not going to be good news for the Jets.
I mean, it's always good news when they lose.
We'll see.
So I feel like we say hopefully we have good news a lot, and we rarely do, but like we stated earlier, we're going to have like 2 episodes every week. I don't know when we're going to start doing that. Like maybe we'll do like episodes, like maybe we'll just start recording after the games on Sunday and then another one on Wednesdays. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We're pretty loosey goosey with our schedule anyway.
So we will see you guys next time. Thank you all for listening. Take care.
Thanks, guys.